Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's chapter 5, verse 13. And it's sweet when you get, actually it's salty, but it's sweet when you get nice short versions of scripture with not a lot of tough names in it to say. So I'm happy to read this for you this morning. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And may God add to the reading of his word this morning as I invite our pastor up.
Thank you, sir. Happy Father's Day, Mark. And happy Father's Day to all of the fathers and the mentors and those who spend time overseeing people. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. It's simple, but it's why we meet every week to learn more about and to learn how to love Jesus, not because we have to, but because we get to, because he first loved us. And now that we're entering into the summer months, different ministries could use a little break, whether it's leading communion. If you have the gift of Bible teaching, come on up here and you can do what I do. If you want to do anything musically, you're very welcome to be involved. We just want to open up the doors for people who feel that the Lord is calling them and have some gift sets and want to talk about that. We don't hold on to anything white-knuckled. We're a body, we're a family, so please join us, and it'll be great. And if you're feeling a little bit, I don't like being up front or doing things, or I have disabilities or different abilities, I got a great little meme this week. And the meme says, if you add G-O-Go to disabled, if you add a go, in other words, let's get moving, God directs a moving vessel. If you add a G-O to disabled, it spells God is abled. Because it's his work on your behalf, in him, through him, to him are all things, and you want to give him an opportunity to use you. So I just want to open up the door for that. There's youth ministry on Mondays, there's coffee hour Tuesdays, there's prayer meeting Wednesdays, and lots of opportunities for you to plug in, not because you have to, but because you get to. And the more people in the kitchen, the more fun for us. We like having lots of people in the kitchen. Speaking of kitchens, you are the salt of the earth. You've heard that all your life. You are the salt of the earth. The series we just finished is Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I'm living water that'll flow through you, and wells, geysers, springs will flow out of you to other people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Then he transitions, I am the vine, the true vine. You are the branches. And we're going to take the summer to explore some themes where God says, you are. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are the salt of the earth. When you hear that word salt, you are the salt of the earth. Have a little visit with the person beside you. If you've got someone to chat to online, you can please do that. But I want you to chat with the person closest to you or the people close to you. What does salt mean when you hear it? Take a minute to do that. I'll pick on Rob and some of these people who are partnerless. What is salt? Flavor? Preservative? Spice? Good thought. What does salt spring to mind? It tastes better. Everybody's going to taste better. I hope you don't mind a little interaction on a Sunday morning. It's good to think together. We have an educational principle, and the educational principle is the answer is in the room. And when you teach people today, you'll be shocked at how much they already know, their preconceptions and thinking. We bring that together, God will speak to all of us through each other. So salt has a lot of implications, doesn't it? And when Jesus says to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth, I'm reminded of the first time I met my wife, Julia. It was on a half marathon race, which is 21 kilometers. And my friend Esther, who wanted me to get married badly, maybe more than I did, because she knew I needed it, she was trying to set me up with Julia. And there are 6,000 people running down the Lincoln Alexander Parkway. If you've ever been around 6,000 people, it's quite amazing, but they're running. So everybody's getting into their pace. It's dead silent. And Julia is running with my friend Esther. Esther is a vivacious, loud, now with very limited education, the deputy mayor of Hamilton, Ontario. She's a politician. She's quite extraordinary. Runs the kids group at church and goes, does politics all week. Loves Jesus. And while we're running, she yells at the top of her lungs, Julia, there's Dan Horn. And like in an Italian reckless accent. And it, you know, 4,000 of the 6,000 people heard it. So I looked back, you know, my wife's 3 kilometers in, tight little hat on, it's cold, her face looks like a tomato because she gets really red, and I'm thinking, okay, there's that little tomato guy on VeggieTales. I guess that makes me Larry if she's looking a bit like Bob, and I'm like, okay. So I start to run. Esther's already set up the plan that she's invited both of us to what's called the VIP tent. So the winner of the race, politicians, all the big sponsors go to the VIP tent. It's a salmon meal. She's got me all keyed up on this. So I finish my race. I'm all excited. I'm in the VIP tent pretending I'm a VIP, which is kind of how I like to roll. And Julia's not there. Julia decided every 3 kilometers, I'm just going to drink water. And when you're running, you can desalinate. So they have water and Gatorade and Powerade, and she only drank water. So when she got to the 21-kilometer mark, she fell down and thought, something's wrong, I'm white, I can't move. She desalinated. You can die without salt. And there's a world without salt that needs you. Because if you've read the paper lately or followed any of the news, there's decay and death in the world. And salt is a giver of life as well as a preservative. Well, I didn't meet Julia that day, but it did occur a few months later, and I'll unpack that another time, but it's a great romance story that I'm sure you're dying to know. But we need salt. We need salt. Next week, by the way, is my wife's last Sunday at her church in Hopedale, Oakville, and she'll be here on the 16th of July, and she's going to be ours from now on, which is very exciting to me, so that's great. Salt is necessary. But too much salt, as you know, can give you hypertension and can be a very, very big problem. Harvard School of Public Health, you got to drop the H-bomb. You know, Harvard, that means it's good source, right? Yeah, we call it the H-bomb. The human body requires a small amount of sodium salt for nerve impulses, contracting and relaxing muscles, and to maintain proper balance. Doctors and nurses, you all know this, so this is good. Help me out if I'm wrong. you need minerals. It is estimated that we need about 500 milligrams of sodium daily. 500 milligrams. Do you know how much that is? Unfortunately, that's about a quarter of a teaspoon. We'll get there, hang on, for those vital functions. But too much sodium in the diet can lead to high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke. It can cause calcium loss, which may be pulled from the bones. By the way, we need 500 milligrams a day. I don't know what you had for breakfast, but four slices of bacon. Anybody like bacon here? Yum. Four slices of bacon is 1,191. So that's a little over twice as much as you need. I'm sorry, Dwight, I have to do this, brother. Wings night. I was just curious. I love wings. I wanted to know how much salt was in those beautiful Cajun lemon pepper, salt and pepper. How much was in those wings? So I looked it up. And most of us get about 10 wings, eh, Dwight? On Thursdays. Well, your wings night is 4,350 milligrams of salt. Yeah, 189% of the daily value. And I just went, oh no. But you have three options. You can totally abstain. You can have, you know, if you want to be really healthy, you can run out to Dwight's, have one wing and run home. You'll be fine. Or I tried to dress like Jimmy Baker this morning to have that televangelist vibe from the 80s. So if you want, and you're a praying man, all right, John Denouden is a praying man. So what John and I have talked about when we've got the wings, we want to pray that those wings get transformed on the way down, right? So if you're a praying person and you want to go 80s prayer style, you got to kind of pray like an 80s televangelist. So it starts with Jesus, and it's spelled G-E-S-A-U-S, like G-sauce. You know how they pray, Jesus, and then you've got to, Jesus, I'm invoking your power, P-O-W-A, the power. Please turn that wing into a gluten-free, vegan, organically sound carrot on the way down. Yes. So if you have more faith than I do, you can go that route, or just careful on the salt intake. Salt is necessary, but we can have too much. And I love chips. So a bag of chips is your salt intake for the day. Salt was incredible value in the ancient world. Amazing. Has anybody ever heard that phrase, he or she isn't worth their salt? Right? So the Latin term salarium is salt, and Roman soldiers were paid with salt. Did my technician find the picture of Michelangelo I sent? Did that end up getting here? Maybe, maybe not. If you guys remember, I think it's Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. You will notice, you can look it up. I guess we didn't get that on the screen. Do we have it or no? Yes, no, maybe? We don't. There's a picture of the Last Supper, and it's really interesting because Judas has a bag of money in his hand. You go look it up. It's really cool. And there's a little bowl of salt right beside him, and it's knocked over. And Leonardo da Vinci was letting us know that if you waste salt, it's incredibly shameful. It's a precious commodity. You get paid in salt. It was the only way to preserve meat back in the day. A grain of salt is a phrase we use. You know, take that with a grain of salt. It's kind of embedded in all culture as well. And have you ever used the phrase, he's a salty old man? They never do this to the ladies, by the way. He's a salty old guy. You know, where does that come from? Salty old man is, I like it, because if you're a sailor and you've been through storms and you've really earned your lifestyle, you're a little crotchety, because being on a boat for a living can be really hard, and you're kind of salty. That implication is interesting. Salt raises the boiling point of water. It lowers the freezing point. If you put a little bit of salt in ice cream, it makes it a little bit nicer. Some quick facts. It keeps milk fresh. It revives brewed coffee. It'll relieve a sore throat. It helps you peel the eggs a little bit easier. It tests the freshness of an egg. It removes stains, eliminates odors, and it keeps your windows frost-free. Uses for salt. Reduces the puffiness of your eyes if you would like to look better. And it gives your skin a glow. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes dull, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Mark says it's thrown in the dung or the manure pile. We'll get there. And it's useless. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The disciples then must not only think of heaven, they have an earthly task as well. Now that they're bound exclusively to Jesus, they're told to look at the earth, whose salt they are. It is to be noted that Jesus calls not himself the salt. He doesn't say, I am the salt of the earth. He says, you are. But his disciples are the salt of the earth, for he entrusts his work to them. Greater works will you do, because I go to the Father. Salt does not operate alone. Jesus is one grain of salt. He puts his spirit in all of us so that we can permeate society. When it says you are the salt of the earth, it's not asking you to say or to do anything. It's declaring a reality. You're salt. In fact, the language is so specific, it says you, and that's better translated y'all or yous. It's plural. All of you are the salt of the earth together. It uses the word are, the salt of the earth, Greek word estes. It means you are the only salt of, you're the only option I have. That's my plan. And he sends them out, 12 of them, to be who they were created to be, the salt that permeates. You put a little bit of salt in the soup, and it makes massive change. It's simple, but it's distinctive. I don't know if you ever heard this. When Jesus sent the disciples out, there's a cute little vignette read about them. Jesus didn't have a plan B. He just said, I'm sending you. And here's the modern version of the disciples. Thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in our new organization. All of them have taken our battery of tests, and we have run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of the tests are included, and you'll want to study each of them correctly. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking, taking the gospel to the world. They don't have the team concept, and we would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven compatibility. Simon Peter, emotionally unstable, given to fits of temper and rage. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee, they place their personal opinions and values over the company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates questioning attitude and a doubt that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it's our duty to tell you that Matthew's been blacklisted by the General Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered high score in manic depressive scale. However, one candidate shows great potential. He's a man of ability, resourcefulness, meets people well, has a business mind, and has contacts in high places. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. You're the salt. And people may not picture you as coming in to permeate and to flavor and to change, but Jesus has no other plan but you and me. Some really neat things about salt. You, all of you, are the salt, the only salt. It's such a valuable commodity. There are many commentators who talk about salt's value and the biblical passages. It starts Job 6:6, Colossians 4:6. Job says, "Can something that has no taste be eaten without salt? Or is there any flavor of white in an egg? Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt." Boy, that's tough when you react quickly and say things as quickly as you can. Salt's so important. It talks about salt being purity. In Ezekiel 16, when they would take a baby out of the womb, I need a nurse to verify this. This is interesting, but they would take a baby and they would take a salt rub and put it all over the baby's body when it was born to cleanse and purify it. Every sacrifice, Leviticus 2, season all your grain offerings with salt. Don't leave the salt of the covenant your God out of your grain offerings. Salt them all. Sacrifice is salted. In Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice says, "The Father sent me, now I'm sending you." Exodus 30, take the fragrant spices, pure frankincense, equal amounts. Every sacrifice is to be salted. They used it for healing. Salt had a healing potential. "Bring to me a new bowl, put salt in it." So they brought it to him, and he went to the spring, threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water." Interesting, eh? Who knows the periodic table of the elements? Because salt has an acronym or a label. And that label is... a little louder. N-A. Thank you. I hate the periodic table. It destroyed me. But I met a little boy in a gifted gym class in grade 2. I could not get this little boy to do anything in gym. In fact, I was trying to get him to do a 2-foot broad jump with 2-foot takeoff. 20 minutes, guys, and he's, to my utter frustration, I'm like, who is this kid? So I went to his teacher, said his name, and she goes, "Oh, you know that, oh," she loves him. She said, "Oh, he's wonderful." I go, "I can't make a connection with this kid. You got to go to the periodic table." "What?" "He knows the periodic table." Like, it was in grade 2. Gifted boy. He had it on his wall. He had memorized it. His mom gave him an old version of the book at a library. He said, "Something's missing." So he sits down. I said, "Hey, James, I hear you know a little bit about the periodic table." Lit up. "Yes." I go, "Oh, which one's your favorite?" So he explained. I said, "What's the most expensive one?" Some kid in the class went, "Gold." "James, no. Platinum." And he explained the period in grade 2. So I know lead, and I forgot the acronym. I think we used to make fun of it. I think we called it plum bum, but NaCl, sodium chloride. Here's the question for my scientist. If it's sodium chloride, why isn't it SO? Why is it Na? Good one, eh? You have to research it. Tough one. I looked it up. And it just exploded my sermon. It set it on fire. I went, "Oh, that will preach." Last night, 10 o'clock at night, what does N-A mean? Latin word. Does he know? But yeah, but he knows it's Latin. I love that. We have a scientist here. So Na is natrium. Natrium, salarium, salary, paid in salt. Natrium means salt. But I go, well, that doesn't help. What does it actually mean? Something that cannot be counted. Oh, I like that. Something that can't be counted. And your impact, your integration, your influence on planet Earth can't be counted. Albert Einstein said, not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that really counts can be counted. I watched a beautiful biography last night, well worth it, on Netflix, of one of the greatest basketball players in history that you rarely, rarely hear about. He played for the Boston Celtics. Red Auerbach was his coach. He won 11 championships. 11. Beyond Michael Jordan. And all the basketball guys are weighing in and honoring him as the greatest ever. But he was in the 50s and the 60s. Gold medal. 5 championships. And was told when he went to a certain restaurant, you can't eat here. And you can't ride this bus or drink from that fountain because of the color of your skin. A national hero. Then he wanted to move to a suburb. Everybody in the country knew him. He wanted to move to a suburb, upgrade the house a little bit. He had a little bit of money. And they wrote a petition, no, you can't move in here. But on the basketball court, salt and light. And he kept playing. He kept advocating for his people. He kept loving his teammates who adored him. And he became one of the greatest legends in basketball history. It's on Netflix. You'll see it pop up immediately. Amazing human being. Healing fertilizer. Important to know that salt is fertilizer. They used to scrape it from the shores of the Dead Sea. And there's lots of different types of salt in the Dead Sea. And if you're a gardener, you know that when you see the 3 codes on any fertilizer, one is for the roots, one is for the stem, one is for the fruit and the flowers. And the Dead Sea has a lot of potash, and the salt that Jesus is talking about is the salt that bears fruit and gives flowers. Isn't that beautiful? You and I are to be people who cause things to grow that are good and healthy for society, permeate, spread out, and preserve the good in society. If you put too much salt on the earth, in Judges 9, Abimelech goes to war, and it says he destroyed the city and scattered salt all over it. You cover a city with salt, it has a death component. And all we know that there's a moment of judgment where Lot's wife looks back in disobedience, and she turns into a salt lick for the kettle, as it were. Salt is also used for covenants. Chronicles 13, amazing. It's a friendship covenant. We make an agreement. We eat salt together, and then we throw it over our shoulder. It's a beautiful way to make an agreement in the Old Testament. It's called the covenant of salt. Salt has the indication of friendship and loyalty and binding covenants. Jesus is bringing this incredible picture to bear on his disciples. It speaks of loyalty, sacrifice. The main things that we can boil it down to is salt is purity, flavor, it stings, and it creates thirst. Salt's a pure substance. This is where the scientific gets interesting, because when he says, if it loses its saltiness, it can't be made salty again. Salt's a pure substance. It can't lose its saltiness. So guess how salt becomes dull and loses its saltiness? It gets diluted by the world, or a salt merchant would put a whole bunch of sand and vegetables, mix it in there, to disguise it, and then the salt would lose its impact. Amazing. We want to be in the world, but not of the world, because if you get too much other in your world, you lose your impact. Finally, preservative is a beautiful picture, and I think it's the main one Jesus is bringing. Salt preserves. The Wesley brothers, in their season of ministry in England, by bringing so many people to Christ, dropped crime rates, increased job opportunities, dealt with social justice, racism. All of the problems of their time were completely circumvented by people coming to Christ and just being salt and light. When you're at your workplace, does the atmosphere change because of your presence? Do people speak a little differently, act a little differently, just because you walk in the room? I would always tell my students at school, don't be a thermometer, be a thermostat. Thermometers sit on the wall and simply react to what's going on and maintain the status quo. A thermometer, this is the temperature in the room, I'll just comply with it. A thermostat has a setting, and the thermostat says, I'm going to regulate everything that happens in this room so everybody can be comfortable and grow. It's like you're this greenhouse. Salt can lose its impact. There's a problem of amount of salt, the problem of distribution, and the problem of quality. We'll close with this. We need more salt. That's a problem. But 5% of people loving and growing in Christ can change an entire city and nation. That's data that's proven. Distribution. How are you doing with your presence in places that are really uncomfortable? There's no believers. There's no Christians in my job. Good. You want to salt that space and bring your presence to bring change. Distribution's important. I have a young friend. I never thought of this till this year. I taught this boy 20 years ago. I met his mom in a park, and I said, how's Josh doing? Oh, incredible. He worked for Facebook for years, did his PhD in California right now, and he did a project that he went into the gaming world, very dark, very closed, but very secure, and he communicated with Chinese businessmen in the gaming community in China and found out they were talking about democracy, freedom, religion, and they wanted change. Amazing. Salt in the gaming world. I'm not a gamer. I don't understand it. Well, wouldn't it be amazing if we could pray for someone and motivate them to go into the dark web, the gaming world, and bring salt and light to that evil place? Very specific ministry, but who knows? Be open. And there's a problem again at the end is of quality. Salt can't be full of sand or water. It can't be watered down. Jesus has just told his disciples that if you are meek, mournful, merciful, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're poor in spirit, you're pure in heart, you're peacemakers, you're persecuted for righteousness, you're going to be salt. He's just lined that out. So when you read the attitudes that come, they're called the Beatitudes, mournful, meek, merciful, he outlines those. And John Stott concludes this really, really well. John Stott on salt and light. If the house is dark, there's no sense in blaming the house. That's what happens when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where's the light? If meat goes bad, there's no sense in blaming the meat. That's what happens when the bacteria are allowed to go unchecked. The question when meat goes bad is not about the meat, where's the salt? If society becomes corrupt like a dark night or a stinking fish, there's no sense in blaming society. That's what happens when fallen human society is left to itself and human evil unrestrained and unchecked. The question is not what's the problem with society. The question to ask is, where's the church and God's people in that world? Being salt and light and allowing God to permeate through your simple, open heart that says, I'm going to go. I might be disabled. And most of us are, either outward or inward. There's disabilities. But if you go, God is able. Thank you, Father, for your word. We want to be not only fertilizer and preservative, but flavor. We want to create hunger, and we want people to see Jesus. And may they know that we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We thank you that you're always here to listen and to help us grow. As a church, may we help people grow where they need to grow. May we be honest and sometimes sting when we speak to our friends, because you've said wounds from a friend can be trusted. And may we be that beautiful permeation that is unseen but changes the world. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen. We're going to have a song.